really
there
good
in there. Oh, hold on. Yeah, hanging in there. I mean, Saturday.
Yeah, but pros, you're early and everything. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, but you know, we now went down to doing this like one Saturday a month, and it makes more sense. So we do 4 episodes on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're, what number am I in the day here?
3.
You are number 3.
You're tired. You'll be really tired after this.
No,
we Red Bull. What we do is we book like 15. We have like a 15-minute break in between each one.
Oh, that's good.
And then like with yours, we had about an hour.
Oh, okay. So you got a little rested up a little bit then. That's good.
Yeah. So we could get snacks.
Yeah. I had some snacks before I sat down.
Let's talk about it. Cause I remember the last time we spoke, we were talking about like gross food aversion type situation.
Oh, that's
so what
right.
was your snack?
I just had popcorn. I love popcorn.
Okay. Just plain butter.
Not much to it, right? Popcorn, it is what it is, right? No, I don't like a lot of butter. I just like a little salt and then, you know, crunchy stuff.
Crunchy stuff.
Yeah. I really like crunchy stuff. I don't know what it is. I think maybe I got too much Neanderthal in my DNA or something. like things that crunch when I eat them. Maybe I haven't tried bugs, but maybe I'd like those.
I did.
You tried bugs?
Yes. Me and my friends would have this kind of like ritual almost every time we would go to Epcot to do drinking around the world. Mm-hmm. And we would stop at Japan and we would go inside and we would all split up, grab a snack, and we'd all come back together and taste them. And I got crickets.
How were they?
They tasted like sunflower seed shells.
Oh, the shell?
Salty.
Okay.
Yeah, salty and like you weren't meant to eat it. Like it was
Did you have like a leg sticking out of your tooth or anything?
Yeah.
No, it just felt like sticks. Like you're just chewing on a stick.
Chewing on sticks.
Yummy. Crunched,
dried sticks, I'm assuming. Not, yeah.
Not moist.
Not moist. Not sappy sticks.
Right.
So like there wasn't any like maple syrup coming out of it or anything?
That's right, yeah. Syrupy sticks. No.
They were
I was over at
flavored.
The Canadian Pavilion. They had the syrupy sticks.
The maple syrupy sticks.
Yeah. Sticks and syrup. That was a specialty over at the Canada.
Yum.
Yeah. Give you a LeBlats and a couple of sticks and syrup.
Oh no, I snorted. Already in this episode.
I haven't tried the crickets or grasshoppers? Which one did you say? I can't remember.
Crickets.
Crickets. Mm-hmm. Oh, crickets are different than grasshoppers because I think they're a little smaller. Probably not quite as filled with guts.
Not as chewy.
I had crickets in Toronto at a Mexican restaurant. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Instead of chips, no chips and queso
we had chips and queso, but they also had crickets. And I'm like, you know what? I'm turning 60. Let's like live on the edge. You know, I didn't die. I kind of felt like, you know, like jumping around for a little bit, but you know, I was good.
God. Were they alive? Did you eat them alive?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, okay. Checking.
No.
Do they all have pins in their skulls, you know, like an old grade school project or something where you went out and caught insects and stabbed them to a board or anything?
And gave it a name.
Our selection tonight of crickets are, we've got some from the Saskatchewan region.
This episode is brought to you by crickets.
See, I think crickets would probably be tastier than grasshoppers because grasshoppers, some of those can be kind of big and I'm sure they're just full of poop.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't even know.
That and their legs are bigger, right? So
they're like full of honey or something. Not honey.
The good thing about crickets is you don't have to floss afterwards.
Yeah, just take the tooth. Take the leg. Yeah,
leg will just knock everything out of there.
I was like, wait, is that a fact?
I don't know. I just made that up.
All right, Skittles, are you going to do the intro?
Oh, we're not going yet.
No, we are. We are.
This was the show.
It is the show.
It is part of the show.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's casual. We do casual.
We do casual. Show. Ready?
Welcome.
No,
don't count.
You're not
okay,
doing
ready.
It?
All right, we'll do the countdown. Ready?
Wow. All right.
Three, two, one. Welcome back to another episode of Shit That Goes On In Our Heads, where we are talking about our love of crickets with our friend and guest, Bob. Hey, Bob. How's it going?
I'm having some crickets here.
That was when you got a crunch into the popcorn.
They chirp when you bite into them, you know, because they're real annoying when you can't find them. And they're chirping. If you bite into one, how do they look? Like a little chirp.
Yeah. You need to hear it scream like, as it crunches.
We have a cricket? Oh, it's just in my stomach. You must not have. He'll die soon. I must not have bit into him. He just went down whole. So when you're at the Mexican restaurant eating crickets, what's the, you know, it's chips and salsa, right? Chips and queso. It's crickets and what?
And booze.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. I think that, so, is there no condiment style thing that you dip the crickets into?
I think we could have dipped them into the salsa, but it was, for me, it was like eating a corn nut, right?
Oh, yeah. Corn nuts, not
like
a big fan.
Like crunchy.
No.
They're crunchy, but
softer. Mm. So like I didn't feel like I'd break a tooth if I bit into it.
That's true. Yeah. I would think, you know, it'd be like, I mean, does mayonnaise go with crickets or does ketchup go with crickets? I think ketchup.
Like an aioli, a garlic aioli.
Maybe just a little olive oil on your crickets. Help them slide down a little better.
A lubrication.
Oh my God. Oh. I'm dying over here. I'm dying.
He sort of plays his arms out, you know, can't go down your throat. Got this cricket.
Don't give him. Yeah. Cricket, the oil won't let them. Right. Crickets have no defense against oil. Yeah. So it's
just. What other insects are you thinking about having now that you're, you know, adventurous?
I have seen somebody eat a spider.
Oh,
like a tarantula.
No.
Well, what? I don't know if it was actually a tarantula, but it looked the size of a tarantula and it was all dried up and they were just like
hard pass.
I mean, it's got like hair on it and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You might as well just like, you know, rub a paper towel on your bathroom floor and eat that.
Yes. I'm literally thinking about the kiwis I have upstairs. So that's become like an addiction of mine. Like, what do you call it? I don't know. It's like that food you eat all the time.
An addiction.
Kiwis. Yeah, I guess it was just an addiction, straight up addiction. But now I'm thinking of the skin on the kiwi being similar to the spider.
Yeah, that exactly. It's like a little,
you know, I can't eat them.
Or coconuts.
Yeah. Those are like a long hair. Kiwi's kind of short hair. I think it's spiders. In the short hair variety, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I've never really seen a long-haired spider before.
Right, yeah. There's not like Farrah Fawcett hair spider walking around and going. The long flowing locks. There's not. I was trying to think of a more contemporary long-haired actress, but I couldn't think of one. Everybody thinks, you always want to see Farrah Fawcett hair. Everybody gets it, right? I mean.
Yeah, you immediately know.
It is, but yeah.
Yeah.
There's nobody contemporary. You'd say, you know, Emma Stone hair. No, doesn't work.
No.
How about J-Lo?
J-Lo.
I don't know.
No.
Not really hair, more of the ass.
Yeah.
You had a big ass spider. Maybe you'd say J-Lo spider. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh my God. I'm crying.
We've broken G-Rex.
I'm crying.
Yeah, no real long-haired actresses these days that kind of have that as their thing, right? So, I mean, I can't think of one.
The only one I can think of was Jennifer Aniston, but I still don't feel like it would fit for Spider.
Yeah, she looks more like one of those, you know, pedigree Ring dogs. The long nose. I can't think of the name of the dog, but the big dog, rather tall. It's got nice hair.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly.
Oh, yeah. Is there like a German dog?
I don't know what they're called, but you know, it's not a lot of
pretty dogs with long hair.
Yeah. Big one, though.
We have a friend of them, but I don't know what they're called. Anyhow, I swear this episode is not just about us talking about dogs.
Oh, it's not?
And food, no.
Okay.
We want to introduce our listeners to who you are, Bob.
No one really cares, to be honest. They don't really care who I am.
I mean, I like that, although they can't see you right now. In our Zoom, you are, is it a cat?
I'm a cat. No. Yeah, I'm a blue cat.
Is it
cat.
A cat? Yes. I mean,
yeah, blue cat.
It's a cartoon.
A blue cat. Got a little doodad on top of my head there, a little flippy.
I know, like little hairs.
Yeah, a little flippy deal in there. Kind of, I don't know, scruffy. Scruffy cat, yeah. I guess.
It's pretty cool. I
scruffy blue cat. You don't see a lot of those these days.
That's true. I don't think I've ever seen a blue cat.
Really? Oh, we had blue cat for a while. So. Wasn't this blue, but it was, you know, it was bluish.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it dyed?
No. Huh.
Really?
It was what they call it, Russian blue?
Russian blue. Yeah, we have a Russian blue.
Google it.
Yeah, they're kind of bluish. I mean, they're not like this bright, but they're, you know, bluer than other cats.
Like a blue-gray.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. These are the really pretty ones.
Yeah. Oh, good cat.
All right. What was that cat's name?
Sasha.
Oh, I feel like that's a cat.
Good old Sasha.
T-Rex has a bunch.
God rest her soul.
Yep, we do. We have eight cats now.
Holy moly.
But you know what? We live in a big ass house, so everybody gets like their own room and...
Every cat has its own room?
Yeah, pretty much. So, like, two cats share the dining room and living room.
Like, living the life over there, these cats.
And then three cats are, like, in the TV room. And then the cats that are all upstairs, they all have their own room. But we also have a blind cat, and she's pretty awesome.
Does she have her own room, or?
Oh, yeah, the cats upstairs all have their own rooms.
She doesn't have any... knowledge that she has her own room at this point, I suppose.
She can't see it. She can just feel it.
Right, she can't see it. It's a wall, I guess. She's like, I'm still in my room.
Still smells like me. We're good.
Terrible, yeah. Somebody, come pet me. I imagine they got a good nose, though. They could probably, you know. Right. When you're munching down on those crickets, they probably show up, see if there's any leftovers. Cats love to eat bugs. My cats do.
Yeah, my cats do too.
Like in winter, just a bug.
The winter up here, you know, the stink bugs come in the house.
Oh, God, these stink bugs.
And they like totally like go after them. And then they wonder why their stomachs are upset after they eat them. I'm like, because they're gross.
Not to mention their breath is terrible. I'd rather have them lick their ass than eat stink bugs, to be honest with you. That stink bug breath is killer. They usually release upon, you know, the first bite, and there you go. Got a whole mouthful of stink bug stink.
It's kind of like running into a skunk, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh my gosh, those things are horrible. They're everywhere. They're a plague. We had one in, just yesterday. It warmed up, and then they just kind of show up out of nowhere. I'm like, what the hell? Where'd that thing come from?
Yeah, I'd much rather have them snack on a ladybug than a stink bug.
Right, yeah. The ladybugs aren't so bad. It depends, though. Do you have the orange ones or the regular red ones? Or
they're orange.
The orange ones. Yeah. See, those are invasive as well. The hilarious thing is I was just having a conversation about stink bugs and ladybugs with a friend of mine the other day, which you would have never guessed coming today that you'd be like, Bob's going to talk about stink bugs and ladybugs. But yeah. they're this invasive species and they get everywhere. At certain times of the year, the ladybugs literally at my old house would cover one wall when the sun was on it, right? And you'd go outside and it'd just be like hundreds of thousands of ladybugs. I just left them alone, but it was kind of weird. I mean, you know, you're not expecting that kind of thing when you walk out the door. So,
well, and then in the winter, they move indoors. So we have
apparently, they're all in the attic or something.
Yeah, all on our windows, like on our ceiling, in the bathroom. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They're thick. They're just insane. I mean, why don't people eat? I mean, they must not taste good, or else people would be eating those because there's plenty. You can just scrape bowls full. Be like eating Cocoa Pebbles or something. Crunching down a little milk. They're colorful, look a little bit like Trix.
Yeah, Fruity Pebbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fruity Pebbles. Nice. Any of that stuff.
Fuck, I'm dying.
You could run like, I don't know, orphanages could take care of all the children with that. Just have them give them a spoon. Say, Go to town, poor orphan children. It's... Here's plenty to eat.
Go to town.
Oh my God. I am crying. I am laughing so hard. Oh my God. So irreverent.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna slow down on that, maybe.
No. I love it. Okay. Don't slow down. So tell us, Bob, were you always a blue cat?
No, not always. The blue cat thing only came around about 2019, 2020.
Right, so, around the pandemic.
Yeah, not that long ago. Yeah. But, right. You know, cats don't live the same, you know, amount of time. So just getting in the hit my stride in cat years, you know.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about you, like growing up in school? And
Sure. Why not? I was very, before I was a blue cat, I was a sickly child and very sickly in school and in grade school. Yeah, that was great.
Being Do you sick, want to elaborate
being
more?
Sick all the time.
I know. I don't know why I'm laughing. That sounds like, but I'm laughing, but I'm like, I feel so bad. What did that mean for you, being a sickly kid in school?
I mean, I didn't get to do everything. Everybody else would go outside certain times of the year and I couldn't go out because I would always get sick. So they made me stay inside, which I don't know that they would do that anymore, to be honest with you. I don't know how much money my mother was paying these people or what was going on. But yeah, I'd have to watch everybody else outside. That was great. And then they all come in and tell me how much fun they had. And I'd be like, I sat here doodling. Thank you. I should tell you a more uplifting story. But it wasn't bad. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I sat inside a lot when I was little. But I kind of grew out of that. So I had asthma, I guess, pretty bad at that point in time. I guess they didn't have any medication. I don't know what the heck was going on. I was a child. I was a victim of my circumstances, as we all are.
Right. Okay. You just got
whatever they give you. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the ladybugs? School? You know those ladybugs?
No. And then you started grade school, right?
I was in grade school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was really little, I don't remember too much. From being really little, I remember I had I always tell people, and then they always think that I'm nuts because, you know, they love to hear the terrible things like having to stay in from recess. But I had a pretty good childhood. I lived in an area like my grandfather had they call it a landing. You know what a landing is? Or maybe don't call them landings up there. So it was on a lake, and he was the guy who operated the boat launch and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we had a bunch of property and lived right on the edge of the lake. And I grew up there for quite, you know, for my before school time. It was great. I ran around in the summertime and, you know, it was fantastic.
Eventually you got to go outside and play.
Oh, I did. And it was warm. It was just when there was this weird weather, like I live in the Midwest. And so, you know, we have all the weather, right? We got hot times, we got cold times, we got everything. So it's not, you know, if you live up north, you don't quite get to as much of the warm stuff, more of the cold stuff. Or if you live down south, you get more of the warm stuff and less of the cold stuff. Here in the middle, we get it all, right? So yeah, when certain types of the weather was, you know, if it was, you know, kind of not warm enough, then my mom would be like, oh, you can't go outside. You're going to get sick. Or it was, you know, but when it was really warm, I could run around and do whatever. So it was no problem, apparently. I don't know. Maybe it became a problem. I wasn't super tuned into all the doctor visits, to be honest with you. It was really just a pain in the neck.
Yeah. I would imagine. I go to doctor visits now and I still tune out.
Yeah. I mean, what
are you? I'm like, am I good? Let's just say yes or no.
Am I going to be all right? Do I have to take any more medicine?
What do you mean I can't eat ladybugs? What kind of shit talk is this, Doc? I'm sorry. I'm
concerned about your diet.
Yeah. Seemed to have a lot of too much roughage. Is that possible?
Is this medicine going to cause me any other issues that I don't already have?
Exactly. Yeah. What's the side effects? How does this affect my beetle eating?
I'm a beetle eater.
That's fine. But I don't know. That was way I kind of grew out all that. So I don't suffer as much now as I used to when I was smaller. I don't know if it had to do with just they've changed things. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe I should follow up on that. I talked to my mother and say, well, what's going on? You know, I don't feel so bad now. Everybody was all worried about me. So, well, Bob, that's because your heart was on the outside of your chest. Oh, I didn't realize. When did they put that back? I didn't see a lot of shirtless people when I was growing up, so therefore I didn't know.
Okay. Oh my God, I haven't laughed this much in a long time.
No.
So, like, didn't you also, like, have a later in life, like, diagnosis, though, of, like, autism?
Oh, no. So I haven't actually had an official diagnosis yet, I would say. It's more of a pseudo-self-diagnosis, I would say, in a way. So, yeah, so autism stuff. So this went for a long time. So it was more a realization than anything else. So I kind of go through life on my own, you know, in my own mind here, and think that all the weird things are just, you know, just quirks of nature, you know, food aversions and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and the patterns of behavior, I suppose you would say. I have certain patterns, and I would get made fun of for it, but I don't know why you guys are worried about it. It seemed perfectly normal to me. And then later I was involved in stuff with autism, and especially my wife says to me, she's like, don't you notice anything? I'm like, not really. What are you talking about? And she's like, well, I think that, you know, that describes you. And I'm like, why would you say that? This is perfectly normal behavior. She's like, I'm sorry, honey, it's not. I think that you're on the spectrum. And I'm like, well, howdy hi, go figure. So then I kind of paid attention. And I think there's just some weird things. So for instance, I mean, a lot of things revolve around food, I think what we talked about initially. And so I've aversion to a lot of food. And the funny thing is I probably eat 200% more different types of food than I did when I was a kid. But when you're limited to about four things, 200% is only about 16 things now. So it sounds good in the percentages, but not, you know, not in the reality. And then also the way. So I always I eat kind of slow. And the other thing is I don't eat like most people, like, you know, eat a little bit of this, need a little bit of that, need a little bit of the other thing, right? I eat one thing and then I move to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Typically, right? So there's not...
Meaning like if it's on your plate, you're eating this.
Yeah. I'll pick. Gotcha. I mean, I don't know. What I start with doesn't seem to be, you know, I don't have to start with a certain thing, but whatever I start eating, I just eat all that until it's gone. And then I move to the next thing and then I move to the next thing. So sometimes it's, you know, kind of bizarre because it's almost like eating around the clock. You know, if you imagine your plate's a clock. Yep. So I still do that to this day. I haven't gotten out of that too much. So, I mean, every once in a while I will, but I rarely like to mix it. And she's like, well, you know, it all gets mixed in your stomach. I'm like, yeah, but I can't control that. If I could, I would, but this is what I want to do. This is the way I like to do it. It makes me feel better. So I do that. So yeah, but it's, you know, the weird thing is you can kind of, I think over time I've grown out of some of it. You know, everybody gets fixations and so forth. And so I still have a little bit of that, but not to the point where it's never been to the point where it's been overly negative, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I suppose some people can have those things become real negative for them. Really, the only negative thing for me is that people don't understand why I don't want to eat. I don't eat like with other people a tremendous amount of times, especially if I don't know who they are. So I don't like today, I wouldn't be having my snack with you guys because I don't really know you that well. So I would be like, I'll just eat on my own and then you guys can eat on your own and we'll meet up and talk or what have you. But I'm not, you know, and so going out to things and social events and stuff are always difficult because literally I won't eat at them. And so that makes things a little weird every once in a while. And some people notice and some people don't. And so I make up excuses or what have you. So I always ask, this has been a lifelong thing for my wife. I go, do I need to pre-eat Am I gonna have to pre-eat before we go? Because I'm not gonna eat anything there, you know?
Yeah.
And she'll go, yeah, I think you need to pre-eat. Because otherwise I'm just starving and I'm looking at all this food and I'm like, I'm not eating that, but I'm hungry. So
it looks good, but I'm not eating this shit here. Nope.
Yeah, that's so funny. I used to love to watch cooking shows, even though I would never eat anything they made. And people don't understand that. But I think it's neat, the process, but I'm not eating, you know, risotto. I don't know, whatever it is. I've never had risotto. But I think sometimes the process is always kind of funny. You know, it's kind of cool to watch the whole process. But
it's like science.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, a little bit, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever watch that show Julia on HBO? It's a good show.
Yeah.
She makes lots of cool looking things, but I'd never eat any of that shit. Come on.
Yeah.
That crazy encased fish thing. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my only real, like, because when we talked before, I was saying how I have like food aversions too. But for me, it's just meat on bone. Meat is on a bone. I don't want it.
I totally get it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't care if it's chicken, beef, pork. I don't want a bone.
The more processed, the better, I say.
Like me, hot dogs.
It's processed. I think that it's usually I can handle it. You're right. If it's,
I don't like it.
Too, you know, like looks like it just slides off of something.
Yeah. Not if so, I can see so a bone good. Or a tendon or, yeah, no.
Ooh, tendon, gross.
Gross.
Is, yes, that, is there some kind of meal that's just tendons?
I don't know, but I'm literally immediately thinking of my husband. If he eats like a piece of steak or meat, he'll say, oh, there's a good piece of gristle.
Oh my God, no. I hate gristle. No. Oh, disgusting.
Gross. Yeah. And like with me, like if the steak comes out rare, I can't eat it. Mine has to be dead. Yeah, dead.
Too much.
Yeah. Dude.
It's not really blood, but you know.
Whatever. It's got to be dead. Okay. I don't care if it's a hockey puck. It's still got to be dead.
Hemoglobin.
Gross.
Hemoglobin.
Now I don't even feel like eating steak anymore.
And you ate crickets, you know?
Yeah,
but the thing is, I was probably a little drunk by the time I was eating that cricket.
Got it.
So, you know, I didn't really faze me.
That's good.
Yeah. But that's what I was, you guys said the word hyperfixation. That's what I was trying to think of instead of addiction. My hyperfixation. Lately has been veggies, like a veggie plate. I just like to make little snack plates, you know?
Oh, like your charcuterie
like
plate?
Not a meal. Like I want a variety of things I like.
Are there any sweets in that? Or is it just like healthy shit?
No. Because if I'm going to do sweets, first of all, I rarely will eat like a sweet.
I'm going to beg to differ. Like and say every time I talk to you the last 2 weeks, what do you have with Girl Scout cookies?
Okay, I had COVID and I couldn't taste anything. And the only thing I could taste was the Girl Scout Thin Mints. So I just lived off of Girl Scout
Thin Mints. Oh my God, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. They're good. At least they're tasty.
It was all I could taste was the mintiness. So that's, but other than that, like I won't go to a restaurant and order dessert because I don't know.
Is that because you were a pastry chef forever and that you kind of know what goes into it?
Yeah.
And you're afraid
and
that they
smell it. Like, I don't like the smell of sweets.
Are you
like,
afraid that they spit in your food?
No, there's a lot of trust in the food service, isn't there? The lowest paid people are trusted the most. Do you ever notice that?
That's true.
I mean, you know, teachers don't get paid well. We trust them with our children. Food service people aren't paid well. We trust them with our food. You know, taxi drivers don't make a lot of money. They're driving you around. I think the world is upside down in pay scale, I believe. CEO has, I mean, they can go in all day and not be responsible for anybody.
Right.
I mean, directly, indirectly, I suppose, financially, but not directly. And, you know, and they get all this money and they're not, you know, they're not doing jack, comparatively speaking. Somebody had to, you know, make sure those crickets weren't going to kill you.
Someone who tried it first. You know what I mean? How much did that person get paid?
Oh, that's just survival. You don't get paid anything.
You don't get paid to survive here.
It's kind of like the ride testers after like a hurricane. Yeah, who's going to go test this ride? Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. I used to think about that all the time. You know, a hurricane would go through and they'd have to go and test all the rides. Okay. It's probably some 18-year-old kid, you know, managing that operation, not really giving a crap, right? So you're putting your hands in, you're putting your life in the hands of this 18-year-old that not really paying attention. You know, his job was to go press the button, make sure that it ran. You know, it's not his job to get in and make sure, like, you know, if you hit a bump, you don't fall off the ride.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's, and they don't get paid anything either. So they're like, test pilots get paid a lot, don't they? I think they do. You think they would be paid, you know, in comparison to a test pilot, maybe, you know, amusement park ride person would not be paid that much, but well, what are you?
I'm a test thrill. Rider.
I don't know. Well, I not even think about that. I suppose they have engineers come in, don't you think? I don't know. I mean, these just, you're talking about like Six Flags or something, aren't you?
Yeah, or Disney or, you know, Universal. Like, I don't know. After a hurricane, are you really going to go get on that roller coaster? I don't think I would.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the first rider.
I think you're probably taking more of a risk by eating the churro. To be honest. Who knows?
They
probably sat outside for the whole hurricane and they're selling them as soon as they open up. Oh, yeah. There you go. Fresh churros.
All steamy.
We warmed it up in the microwave for you. You're all good.
Right, churro. Exactly. We got the extra long churro microwave here. 2 foot long microwave.
So besides food aversions, did you have any other, or did your wife point out any other reasons why
I think I'm glad you
reined us back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the truth. I really didn't pay much attention other than until she was the kind person who brought things to my attention. You know, because my mom, I'm assuming, was just trying to prop me up to get me out of the house. So anything I did was probably okay. Oh, yeah. No, that's fine, honey. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody loves Legos. Even if they're 20, it's okay.
I freaking love Legos.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I still love Legos.
I do too. And it's funny because I have a 6-year-old. So like, we'll totally, like, I'll go with him. And I'm like, I'm going to get you a Lego set. But I know it's for me. Like, I'm like, yeah, son, let me help you. Also, don't touch anything. And I have to organize all the Legos
I start. Yeah, you got to get it all. Now, that was my thing with my children. We have to put it together the way it looks on the box. And then I'm going to let go of it. And you can do whatever you want. But we have to do this first.
Yes.
And they're like, why? I don't want to do that. Well, this is for me. This is just for me.
My son yelled at me the other day, Mom, you don't have to organize the Legos. I'm like, actually, I do have to organize Legos. So yeah, I think I have a note here about physical touch.
Oh yeah, I don't like to be touched. Yeah, the whole conversation about that. Yeah, no, I never have, you know, I mean, I always wondered, because I have an older brother and he could be, I thought, quite cruel to me. Because he loved to hold me down on the ground and I would just flip out, right? And he thought it was so hilarious that I was just totally flipping out. And you know, come to find out, I don't like anybody touching me. So that was part of the problem. I always thought it was related to that, but apparently it probably was that way all the time. And he just took advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
When
he was pushing the button.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, I don't like to be touched. And I've even had experiences where people would you know, this note, there's not going to be any kind of revelation here. So whenever someone put their hand on my shoulder or something for an extended period of time, literally it feels like my shoulder's on fire and I know that it's not. And then, you know, I'm like sitting there trying not to react abnormally because it's not anything that anybody should be concerned about. But I do, I try to get away from people and yeah, they don't understand. I'm like, you know, waving off the hugs and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's all right. Yeah, we're fine. We don't need to hug or anything. Because there was, you know, there's obvious through time, there are times in society where, and people, specific people, or times where it's a little more accepted, right? I think now it's a good time because nobody wants to get close to each other because of the whole pandemic business. And so it's great. I'm like, this is the time in my life I don't have to, you can do these things online. I do this stuff all the time and don't have to go come, you know, be around people too closely or, you know, have them want to shake your hand or touch you or anything.
Right.
Yeah. Between that and the fist bump, I think those are the two best things that have happened in the world in my life. Although I just do the fist bump, but I don't really, I mean, it's not my thing, but I will do it because it's socially acceptable. So, you know, Howie Mandel is a savior. Race.
Yeah.
But this is a germ thing. I don't have a germ thing. It's not a germ thing at all.
Yours is a touch thing. I have another friend, same thing. Like if somebody touches them, they like physically feel that touch for hours afterwards. And they described it just like you did, like a burning sensation. So
it doesn't make, I mean, their hand wasn't on fire or anything. It just, it's just this weird reaction that you have. And, you know, it's interesting. But again, when I was younger, I just played it all off. It's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah.
You don't, it's not like you, I don't know, dwell on these things. You're just like, that's just me. And it's okay. Everybody's, you know, everybody's different. So, you know, I do always get, you haven't asked the question. I'm surprised you haven't asked the question since we're on the topic, but.
What?
Well, how do you have children?
That was. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would imagine, this is me guessing what you're going to say before you say it. I would imagine the, how do I word this?
Like, come on, Skittles, you have all the best words.
I'm like, I would imagine the reward is better than the foreplay, right? Like, wouldn't the reward drive that? Well,
now, at first I thought I knew what you meant by reward. Now I'm rethinking that.
Wait, what did you think I meant?
I don't know.
Like the reward being like the, like, you know, like, I mean, come on, we're adults here. You go into an intimate situation.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so. Although you are a blue cat, so I don't know.
And you just called me an adult. I don't know.
But like, I would think that's what it is. Like, you're doing it for a reason. There's pleasure somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I suppose you're right. No, but I think the other thing is there is a certain amount of time. Okay. So time is a very important factor, which I don't know that everybody considers this, but now I think back here, but there's a lot of time. So you spend a lot of time around somebody and you get more comfortable. And so then these things aren't quite as bad. You know, you don't like them necessarily, but you're much more tolerant of, and trusting, I suppose, is also a big part of it too. So it's not quite the same. Strangers are worse than not strangers. And there's a variance, right? So I think that helps as well. But yeah, you're right. I suppose there is a payoff in all that. In one way or another. So, but yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, I have friends for, you know, 20, 30 years. I don't hug them either. So
I'm the same.
Yeah. But yeah, my wife doesn't seem to bother me as much in that regard. So it is, there's a lot of incongruous things with all this because you develop a certain amount of trust in people. And so there is I think that plays a role. In things, maybe not with everybody, but certainly with me. So people I trust and people I'm not so sure about. And it's not like, you know, you don't trust them, but you know, it's the known and the unknown perhaps.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I have a random question.
Yeah.
How did you eat in school lunch?
I brought something from home that my mom made for me.
Yeah.
Every day. And it usually was not like a peanut butter sandwich. I mean, that's all I can remember eating.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good in and of themselves. You know, what I can recall is a peanut butter sandwich and maybe a few potato chips and then day old Dolly Madison neat to eat treats.
What is that? I'm like, what are those? That sounds
it's the cheap. At the time, Hostess would have been like the king, right? So this would have been the knockoff Hostess stuff.
Yeah, like Little Debbie's.
Like Little Debbie's, yeah. But at the time, yeah. And they weren't new. They were day old. They were always old. They got from the day old store. You ever have a day old store? They don't have much of those anymore.
I remember like the stickers. It was like, it's about to expire. That's right.
It's about to expire. Like, yeah. Yeah. We've marked it down 75% off. That's what I would have.
It was like, I do remember those.
Well, they used to have bread stores. Like, so the bread store would be, you'd have like bread at the store. And then they used to have these things called day old stores or something like that. And that's where we would go. And you'd get all this stuff that was like going to expire. Mm. And the bread was stale. Everything was stale. So that's what we had when I was growing up. Anything that was something like that was, you know, going to be costly and not, you know, of primary need, we'll say, that was all from the day old store. So yeah, all the memories.
I know.
So it wasn't like day old milk or day old cheese.
Oh. No, it really was more than a day old. It probably were like weeks old. I don't know. They just call it the day old store. At least that's what I call it. You know, like I said, you don't see them much anymore. It used to be really commonplace that if there was, you know, you were in a, you know, kind of a larger area, they'd have like this.
Yeah.
And that was
crouton
that was
growing store.
Up. Yeah, the crouton store, exactly.
So what's your go-to like comfort food?
Oh my gosh.
Going so back when to you mean crunchy.
When you mean comfort food, do you mean am I sad or am I just
like if you're if you're sick, let's say.
Oh, if I'm
something
sick?
That you know you can eat and it's gonna make you feel good because it's both delicious but also you know, scratches the itch of like not weird and
probably salting crackers. It sounds horrible. Okay. I'll eat saltine crackers if I'm sick. I always do. I don't know why. My mom must have forced them on me. She's like, we got these at the day old store and they're really past date.
They were.
Since you're sick, you won't eat anything. Here you go, kid.
Can you imagine if they weren't saltines? They were just old tortillas.
Put some salt.
We got to get rid of these things. I'm not throwing them away. They're passing through somebody's digestive system. I paid for them.
Oh, so hard because I was like thinking about like growing up if we had like old tortillas, my mom would just air fry or food fry them, make them chips because like that. I bought this, somebody's eating this shit.
It's old. The crazy thing is, I had my favorite lunch today. I went and made myself a hamburger. There you go.
Oh.
I grilled myself a hamburger for lunch today and I had it. And that but you say comfort, but I mean, I probably have a hamburger at least 4 times or 5 times a week. So it,
yeah,
I must be totally comforted.
How do you cook it?
I like
is
to
it
put
like
it on
medium
the grill.
Rare?
Oh no, I have to be done.
Thank you. See,
I can't.
No,
well done.
No,
I can't. I can't be looking at cow guts.
No,
when I bite into it.
No,
put cheese
it's
on
so
it.
Gross.
No, are you kidding? Cheese is this bane of my. You can't go out anywhere and buy a hamburger without somebody slapping cheese on it. I'm like, I mean, I wish there was, you know, you say you're vegan, right? Let's say you're vegan. Mm-hmm. People understand that. Oh, yes. Okay. We can't have any animal products. Understood. You know, people say vegetarian. Oh, well, you want no meat. You want, I can't say I don't want any cheese. No one understands. They're all like, what? I'm like, yeah, I want a hamburger. No point. Cheese. I don't want anything on it. And I want a hamburger and a bun and that's it. And they're like, what? You don't want cheese? I had the pleasure of going over to Europe and to Germany with my family and my son and I, my wife and my daughter went off and did something else. I don't even remember what the hell they were doing. But anyway, he and I didn't want to do it. And we ended up at a Burger King in Germany.
Oh.
And because I didn't want to eat, I'm not eating strudel or something. It's, I don't know what the hell it is. So I'm at the Burger King and I'm trying to order. And thankfully my son was interested and he spoke a little German. And so I can't remember the German words for this, but anyway, we get up to the counter and we're ordering. And I tell the person, I'm like, yeah, I just want a hamburger. No cheese, nothing on it, just plain. And they're so confused because first of all, I'm not speaking German. And second of all, I'm saying no cheese, which I think they understood that cheese and they're like, huh? And so then my son says in German, which I can't remember what the words are, but he's like, bun, burger, bun. That's what he tells them. And they go,
yeah, assembling it. I get it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then they finally, and I did get a plain hamburger there. So it worked out, okay. But there was like, I don't know, what seemed like an eternity, but was only probably about 30 seconds, but of amazing confusion on this person's face, wondering, you know, who the hell is this, you know, English speaking idiot trying to tell me that, of course, hamburgers being the most American food across the world, how to make a hamburger unlike the way they serve it. So you know, it just was, it was kind of funny. And yeah, so I told him you saved the day. You saved your poor dad from not eating all day long. Thank you.
Aww. So dad was going to have to eat strudel all day.
That's right. I don't know what the hell they eat over there.
Well, I didn't know.
I didn't eat. That was for everybody else had the local delicacies and I just watched and had something else. I like pretzels. They had a lot of pretzels over in Germany.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is like, did you have any pretzels? Because they're really good pretzels.
They're really good pretzel. Yeah, really good pretzel. Best pretzel I've ever had in my life, I think.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that was the positive.
Was it a warm pretzel?
Oh, yeah. It was one of those big ones, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very nice.
They rolled it in something. I don't know what the deal was, but it was pretty good. I took it and I ate it and I thought, wow, this is all right. Big pretzel.
Crickets.
Yeah, golden crickets. Yeah. Salt usually is kind of white. What's all this?
We have no idea. No idea what it was.
What are these brown flakes?
Good.
What did you say?
What are these brown flakes?
This yeah, what are these salt. Brown flakes all over my pretzel? Woo, they're sticking into it. You should have a flag on it or something. It seems to be some kind of a toothpick or something.
Day-old crickets.
Day-old crickets, yeah.
I did not expect to laugh this much. My cheeks hurt from laughing.
I have
hilarious.
Tears rolling down my eye, awesome. Down my cheeks. This was such a fun conversation.
But the terrible thing when you have, you know, I've never really felt any of this has been negative to me directly for the most part. I mean, every once in a while, people make fun of you when you're younger and even when you're older about these kind of quirkiness nature of all this. Right. But it's never really been a detriment overall. Mm-hmm. And it's been really hard when I had kids. So I have you're going to love this one. Mm-hmm. A bathroom aversion. Right. So mm-hmm. I cannot going to the bathroom in public has been mm-hmm. a trial, right? So yeah. All through my whole life, I've finally kind of overcome most of it, I would say. Not all of it. Every once in a while, I'm like, I'm not going in there. And but when you have kids, you can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. I suppose you can, but I want them to have a fair shake at it. You know what I mean? I don't want them to be like, you know, adopt my... you know, kind of quirks of nature there just because it's me. Right. So I can, oh my gosh, I can remember taking my children into the most heinous of, you know, bathrooms and having them use the facilities, even though I was just like, you know, your stomach's gurgling and you're looking around and you're like, how in the hell, you know, don't they have a power sprayer? For Christ's sake, use it in here. And I think I thankfully, what do you want? Choke down my aversion enough for them not to be affected by it, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you got to go and you can't, you know, you can't wait. Yeah. If I made them wait, it'd just be shitting in the car all the time. So, I'm like, okay, yeah, we're at Pizza Hut and I know this bathroom is horrible because I've never used it ever. But we're going to go in there. I'm not telling them this is my head, you know. And sure enough, they'd make a comment, oh, it's so filthy in here. I'm like, yeah, well, you know.
Don't talk about it.
I'm like, we got to get this done. So, yeah. But that was one of my, most people think, oh, I don't know what they worry about, kids breaking arms or something. I'm like, oh, God, this kid's going to have to use the bathroom while I'm out with them, you know. What am I going to do? Mom's not with us and I have to take care of this business.
Literally me when Max was potty training, going into a public restroom, it was like he would just touch everything. And I'm like, God, don't touch the toilet. Don't touch anything. Like it was, he just wanted to touch all the stuff. And it was.
But it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. I didn't say anything. So I wouldn't, you know, if it was like, you know, they're going to grab a turd out of the toilet, I'd probably say something. But if they wanted to touch the sink, you know, and it looked filthy or whatever, I'd let them do it. I didn't want to, I really was trying my darndest not to, you know, bring this to them. You know what I mean? And this is when, actually, this was still at a time where I wasn't totally convinced that there was any kind of issue for me. And so, but I was also trying not to, you know, influence them. Yeah. And it becomes difficult. I mean, it's difficult. to do that, I think, because you're really, it's almost like a gut reaction to do that. And then you're going totally against everything your brain is telling you. And so, yeah, weird. Very weird.
I get it. I totally get it. So, Bob, where can our listeners listen to you?
Oh, they want to listen to me?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I mean,
I'm totally going to like tune into you because I've never laughed so hard.
If you're really feeling like you want to torture yourself a little bit, you can go to staticradio.com and listen to me and my co-host Miles, who I talk with every week. So, yeah.
Yay.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't think we've ever talked about any of this stuff.
Yay.
We talk about other stuff. I don't know. We probably talked about bugs, but maybe not the rest of it.
I love it.
Oh, Bob, I love you. I needed this laugh so bad.
Yeah, this was great. This was so much fun.
Glad you had a break ahead of time. I could imagine there'd be an accident coming up.
I'm happy we had this after I ate. We didn't talk about this and then lunch with it. Not eating. Yeah.
What did you have for lunch? What did you have to eat or whatever?
I had carrots. I had a cucumber.
Ooh, good.
Yeah.
Never had a cucumber.
Oh, I can only do the seedless one.
I can imagine. They kind of smell funny.
Yeah.
Cucumbers do.
Yeah.
You ever had that cucumber water? No, thanks.
No. Ugh. No. Yeah. No, I can't do the cucumber water.
Cucumber vodka is pretty good.
Really?
Well, like a cucumber martini or something?
Yeah.
When they make that, do they like just jam the cucumbers in there? Or how does that work?
They just wring them out on
some
top
kind of
a glass.
Filtration through cucumber process for this vodka? I don't know.
Love it.
I'm trying to picture this.
Broke me.
Is it like a pickle jar full of vodka?
I think so, but
in vodka.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ooh. Vodka pickle.
I'm ready. Sign me up. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate you and making me laugh. This was great.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun. You guys well and take care.
We will.
You too. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, all. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm G-Rex.
And I'm Dirty Skittles.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. We'd love to listen to your feedback.
We can't do this without you guys. It's okay to be not okay. Just make sure you're talking to someone.